Do we think of bats as creepy and scary creatures because of what they inherently look like or what they do, or is it because of how they've been presented in popular culture?
I think a lot of times when it comes to bats, it's mainly the popular culture thing. They're still presented as a villain. I have seen a lot more shows that present them as more of a hero or as a companion in some of the kids' cartoons and things. They have, you know, some bats have funny faces. They come out at night. There are bats that, of course, drink blood that spurs on the vampire myth. So it is a species. But in my 20 years of working in conservation, not more than one species, the bat, has made the biggest recovery in the way that people look at it. You know, we get a lot of folks that come to the nature station and say, you know, where are the plans for the bat house? Or they'll get excited when they see the bats hanging out of our bat houses. You know, we got a number of bat houses there that are occupied. And it really gives people an opportunity to see, you know, these creatures aren't so bad. And the value to us as an insect eater is very important.
What are some of the most interesting and perhaps unexpected things that people would like to know about bats that they probably don't?
I think that the biggest selling point that I always like to talk about with bats, particularly the bats that we have here, we have 13 different species inland between the lakes, 40 nationwide, that bats do some important ecological roles for us. One, in our area, they're an incredible insect eater, particularly nighttime insects. And what are the nighttime insects that we don't like? Many of the moths and beetles that might cause crop damage. Of course, we don't like to be bitten by mosquitoes, and bats are known to eat mosquitoes. There was one statistic by Bat Conservation International that says that one little brown bat can eat 1,000 mosquitoes in an evening. Now, I'm going to put a caveat on that. 1,000 mosquitoes is like eating 1,000 pieces of popcorn. It's not always what the bat wants. So if it can get a juicy moth, it's going to go for that. But it has the capability of being a top predator of mosquitoes. The other thing that we don't really realize about bats, and this is mainly in desert regions of our country and tropical rainforest regions, is that they're an important pollinator to a lot of the things that we like to have in our daily lives. You know, for instance, if you like a margarita, you can thank a bat. You know, bananas and cashews and avocados, all pollinated by bats.
Are there many different types of bats, and which ones are native to this area?
So in the world, in the mammal world, bats are the second most diverse group of animals. And so there's over 1,000 species of bats around the world, and some of them are as tiny as the little bumblebee bat in Thailand, which is about the size, a little bigger than a dime, to, you know, some of the, you know, the giant crowned flying foxes that you're going to find in Papua New Guinea that's, you know, got a 6-7 foot wingspan. So there's incredible diversity of them around the world. Here in Kentucky, we have close to 13, maybe a few little bit more species, all of them insect eaters, brown little guys. We have a couple diverse ones that I particularly like. I love the red bat, which is like a flying little teddy bear. It's bright, kind of orangish brown. And that's the one that you sometimes see in the winter months. So if you're ever driving down a back road at Land Between Lakes, and it's one of those days that gets up to the 50s and 60s, and you see some bats flying around, most likely those are going to be red bats, because they don't hibernate in the caves. They hibernate in the trees, and that's what we got plenty of in LBL.
Do we have any vampire bats here?
That's a great question. It's one that we get a lot of questions for. The only vampire bats, there's three species, and the only place that you're ever going to find them, except the zoo, is in Central America and South America. You're not going to find them anywhere that I know of in the United States. So I think there's been a couple cases where they may have been found on the Texas border, but for the most part, it is just in Central and South America.
Where are these located in LBL?
Well, you know, in LBL, all the bats that you're going to see are going to be deep in the forest. You may see them in the waterways, you know, like creeks and around the ponds where they're going to be picking up insects. Most of our bats, you know, are going to migrate at this time of the year to the cave systems that Kentucky has plenty of, especially in the particularly the central part of Kentucky or the eastern part. The bats that stay in around us in the winter are going to probably be the big brown and the red bats, which don't necessarily need to hibernate in the caves. And so during the summer months, you can see them in our bat boxes at the nature station, or just if you're fishing on a fishing bank or taking a hike late in the evening, you're going to see them.
If you were to be walking through the woods late at night and come upon a bunch of bats, would they be inherently aggressive, or would they just fly away, or would they just ignore you?
They're pretty much just going to ignore you. You're just a part of the environment to them. And they're going to stay away from you. If you start swinging at them, of course, they're going to fly away from you. One thing that people often will say is a bat flew at me, tried to attack me. They're not really trying to attack you, but they're trying to attack the things that are attacking you. Like, so you're out at night and you're getting surrounded by mosquitoes, or maybe you have a flashlight and you have a moths coming to your flashlight. They're going after that. They're pretty not concerned about you because they can outfly you. But, they are trying to avoid us as much as possible.
Now, is it guano, the bat leavings? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, guano is one of the best fertilizers that you can find. It's very high in nitrogen, but it is the bat droppings. And that's actually one of the best ways to tell if your bat house is occupied. Because a bat, when they go into the bat house, they're gonna go to the bathroom, and when they go in, and they're going to go to the bathroom once they go out. And their bathroom, of course, is made out of insect parts, so it's very shiny. So you can actually tell if your bat house is occupied by the amount of guano that you have at the bottom of it.
And are guano fumes toxic?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know particularly about the guano fumes themselves, but they're, in cave systems, in highly concentrated places where you got lots of bats, the fumes from the feces is going to impact us because it's going to have a lot of emissions. But also there is, it's histoplasmosis. I don't know if it's a bacteria or if it's a fungi that can get into any kind of droppings, whether it's pigeon or bats or high concentrations chicken droppings that can be kind of harmful for us.
If the bats were all to be removed from Land Between the Lakes, are there other animals that could pick up the slack of all the insects they eat, or would it be catastrophic?
You know, all I got is some circumstantial evidence on that one. There in nature, there is some redundancies, but not to that great extent. I mean, with the big, huge ecological role that bats play, it'd be almost impossible to replace that. We recently experienced in 2012, Trigg County, which is a good portion of Land Between the Lakes, got designated a white nose syndrome county, and we lost a lot of bats. We lost a lot of our bats, almost 95% of our bats, little brown bats in our bat houses. And so we got to see that scenario play out a little bit. Circumstantial evidence, that was next several years we had terrible bug problems, mosquito problems. Now, whether that was tied to the bat thing, we can't truly see. But, when you kind of put two and two together, it kind of equals four. So,
well, what else do listeners need to know about bats?
I think it's something that bats need our help at this point. There's a lot of things that we can do for their conservation, for our own conservation, by trying to protect them. One of the things, of course, is not disturbing bat roosting sites, whether it's a tree that you see in a woodlot or a cave system. During the winter months, it's very detrimental to bats. If you're concerned that you want to kind of help them, especially during the breeding season, putting up a bat house in the proper location in your backyard or on your farm can be an extremely good help, especially with some of the species that are being impacted by white nose syndrome, because it provides a alternative and a safe location for them to be able to raise their young.